I'm going to introduce to you a friend of mine. Well, he's more like family. This gentleman has, I wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't for his obedience to the Lord. But it's my best friend, Cord Bailey. He's going to come, and I know he's going to bring an awesome message. I'm not going to talk a lot because I know he's got a lot to say. But me and Cord have been running together for probably the last 16, 17 years. And just a privilege and honor it's been to be able to call him friend and brother and to go through life's struggles, having somebody that I know I can count on all the time to be there for me and my family. And so, God, we just ask this morning that you would just fill him with the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you would just breathe fire from the words that that he speaks this morning, and that you would just use him as an instrument for your glory. God, that you would just allow his words to pierce our hearts and minds, Lord, and that the words that he speaks this morning would bring transformation and freedom and deliverance and healing, God, and that we would walk out of here not the same this morning, God. And Lord, I just ask that you would just move in this place, Lord, and just give Cord the boldness and the words that he needs to speak this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, man. Can you hear me? Amen. Jesus. Can we just say the name of Jesus? It's literally all we need. I don't even have to preach. It's such an honor to share the word, but we just need him. He's all we need. Okay, we're just going to get in the river this morning and just flow. Is that okay? Well, the last service was so good. It was so good. All right, so y'all just get ready. We're just going to let it go. We're going to let it rip. Because if you don't know me, I get a little excited. Because Jesus is worth being excited about, amen? You know, because I've been sozo, I've been saved, which means in the Greek, saved, healed, delivered, made whole. Oh, that's good. That you get this revelation that I don't have to go to the cross anymore. I get to go from the cross. Okay. Listen, we just starting. And I live this every day. And it's not because of me. It's because he who lives in me, he did something to me. He changed me. He saved me. He made me whole. And I have a reason to tell people about the Lord. I hope this week that you've been sharing the gospel, that you've been seeing healings, that you've been getting words of knowledge. You know, the Bible says in Romans 8:19 that all creation is groaning for the sons of God to be revealed. It's one of my favorite verses, because when you see people and they're cussing and fussing and all the things, and you're meeting somebody and you didn't meet a deadline or something happened, you don't see them as your problem. Come on, somebody, amen that. It's okay. It's okay. By the end of it, it'll be okay. You know, heaven and earth are waiting for you to pick up your authority and walk in it. People are waiting for you to pick up your authority and walk in it in confidence. But we got to shake off apathy, because the church is in apathy. We're just relaxing. We're coasting. We have it on cruise control. But that's not okay. That's not okay, because there's a lost world that needs Jesus, and Jesus lives in you. You are the hope. He's the hope, and the hope lives in you. And everybody you encounter every day needs the hope of Jesus. Amen? Okay, come on. Okay, I'm going to share a testimony right quick. I have so many. Like, when you see God touch people's lives, you could never just stop sharing Jesus with people. And it's so sweet. Let me share a different one. There was a guy, I'm an ER nurse, most of y'all know that. And so I was in the ER and I was walked in, and there was a guy who had, just for everybody's sake, had bad ideas about himself and was going to act on them. And he got drunk one night and he punched a mirror and took one of the pieces in the mirror and, you know, was going to hurt himself. And so I walk in, because see, if you're not careful, you'll see that as your problem. There's another one. I see it all the time. People see it as their problem. Oh, there's another one, really? And I'm like, come on, God, go get him. Because he's not my problem. And I have the hope of glory in me. And the hope of glory is walking in the room, amen? Because who I touch, he touches. Who I pray for, he prays for. Come on. That's us. That's who God's called us to be. So I walk into the room and I have right perspective. And it so matters that you have right perspective. So I walk in the room and I start sharing with him. And sometimes there's not, like, it just isn't pretty. Like, because he's like trying to rip out his IV and blah, 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 cussing and fussing. And I'm like, hey, buddy, you know what? I said, you need Jesus, man. Like, there's just, I have him for 2 hours, maybe. I don't have time. There's no time. I can't just be, hey, brother, you know. And I'm not saying that's not okay. Every situation is different. But I don't have time. So I said, buddy, you need Jesus. And he goes, well, I tried that stuff, and it didn't work for me. I said, well, maybe you made him Savior and not Lord. Come on, can anybody relate? And so I said, maybe you made him Savior and not Lord. And he's like, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, he loves you, buddy, and you can't do anything about it. He loves you right where you're at. And I said, could I pray for you? Well, I guess so. You better hurry up. And so I'm like, so I start praying for him. And see, people, if you don't have right perspective, you cannot go into these situations with an authority. Like, you go in already thinking you're going to lose. But I know that God's going to touch him. And so I'm walking in the power and the confidence of the Holy Spirit. So when I put my hand on that man's shoulder, I know that God's going to do something. And so I ask, Father, just touch him right now in Jesus' name. He doesn't need to hear any more about you. He needs to feel you. And the peace of God comes all over him. And he just starts crying and mourning. Ah! And I said, buddy, you're experiencing Jesus right now. And he loves you. And he's wrecked. And I said, what you need to do is give your life to him. He said, well, I tried that. I said, no, there's no trying. You just have to die. Give your life to him. And so he did. And it was so cool because when he was done, he goes, okay, I did it. And I love it because it's just so raw. That's what God's looking for. He's not looking for you to have it all together. He's looking for you to walk in the room and say, God, I don't have it together. I'm struggling here and here and here. My mind's wrong here. This is happening. Help me. Come on, because we all want a mantle, right? Everybody wants a mantle from God. But if we don't get the right perspective, we can't carry it. Ephesians 6, I'm just going to read this really quick, 6, 10 through 18. And this is the Holloman Standard Bible. So it may be a little bit different than what's up there, but finally, so this is Ephesians 6, 10. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord. And by his vast strength, put on the full armor of God so you can stand against the tactics of the devil. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. This is why you must take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist the evil day. And having prepared everything, can y'all say prepared? Prepared? Having prepared everything to take your stand. Stand therefore with truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like armor on your chest, and the feet sandaled with a readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take the shield of faith. With it, you will be able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Verse 18, pray all times in the Spirit. With every prayer and request, stay alert in this with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Pray also for me that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. For this I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may be bold enough in him to speak as I should. Man, that's good. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. We're going to pull some strongholds down today. If I can get through it, we're going to pull down some strongholds. Casting down arguments in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. But the truth is, even with all this, that you cannot be effective in war if you have a compromised soul. And the best, let me say this. This is what that looks like. Having a compromised soul. See, what you have to realize is your soul is this. And I'll go over that in just a second, but this is what that looks like. You wonder if God loves you when John 3:16 says he does. You wonder if you can hear him when he says, my sheep hear my voice, draw close to me and I'll draw close to you. You're still wondering if you're forgiven when he says, I cast your sins as far as the east is from the west. I remember your sins no more. Now there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You're still trying to get free when he said, those who the Son set free are free indeed. What's Satan fighting for? He's fighting for your soul. He doesn't care if you call yourself a Christian and then tell people you look like your father while looking like the world. He cares if you actually believe what the Word of God says about you and what it says about him. What would happen if a believer actually believed? That is so good. What would happen if a believer actually believed the truth of God? That no one could talk you out of it. No, an unbeliever, a lie, a bad circumstance couldn't get you a believer in a place of unbelief. That's so good. What if truth was a fortified in your mind where other people's opinions and your own emotions could taint truth? Let me give you an example. The other day, I had a patient. She was a 14-year-old girl. She had jaundice terribly. Her eyes were yellow. Her urine was yellow. Everything looked terrible. She barely had enough strength to raise herself off the bed. She already broke one arm. Now she has another broke arm. And I get down there and I ask moms in the room, I said, Mom, could I pray for her? Mom's like, yeah, that would be okay. We love people praying for us. Well, what am I going to pray? I'm going to ask God to touch her. And so I get down on my knees beside the bed, because this is what you do sometimes. And I look at this little girl who's 14 and her eyes are yellow, and it's like, God, please touch her. Please heal her body. I don't know what else to pray. God, I just know you did it then and you empowered me, and you didn't say go pray for the sick. You said to heal the sick. God, please touch her. And Mom just so fast gets up and goes, well, honey, you know, we're on a transplant list and we're on this and we're on that. And I'm not pushing those things away. I'm in healthcare. But what I'm telling you is we can't replace that for truth. We cannot compromise. We cannot compromise in this world because we live in a fallen and compromised world. And I will not allow that to mess me up, because people are going to come and they're going to poke holes in what you believe, especially when you stand on the Word of God, because it's so countercultural to everything else. But I'm believing this thing is truth above all other things. Amen. And so if you can come and poke at me, and it may hurt, but I'm not moving. Woo. So he's fighting for your soul. So what is your soul? This is the best way I know how to explain it. It's like that old pig. Y'all like, what's he talking about? I still country. My family lives on a farm, raises cattle. We ain't never raised any pigs though. But anyways, it's like that old pig. That old pig's nature, and Pastor Eric talks about this. That old pig's nature was to get muddy, right? It was his very nature to get in the mud. Well, one day that pig heard the gospel of Jesus. And he called upon the name of the Lord and he was saved. Amen? Amen. I'll amen me. It's okay. The pig will amen me. Well, so that pig, he was so happy. All the mud was off of him. He took a shower. He felt so good. He looked in the mirror and he could finally like who he was. He felt clean. He felt joy. He felt peace. He was good. And then one day, that pig was walking along down the road and he said, ooh, that's a good looking muddy puddle. And he accidentally fell in it, right? I've been there. Immediately, what happened to that pig was guilt, shame, and condemnation. So that pig just said, God, I'm so sorry. Like, set me free. I messed up. Please forgive me. And he's crying out to God. And God looks down and goes, you're still clean. And the pig goes, no, you don't understand. Look at my leg. Like, you know, I've got mud on it. And he goes, you're still clean. And then he gets mad. I'm not clean. And Jesus goes, no, you don't understand. See, son, you don't understand. Your flesh wasn't born again, your spirit was. See, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says that we're body, we're soul, and we're spirit. Okay, this is so important for the church to know. Your body, soul, and spirit. So when you get born again, your spirit is born again. It's what he told Nicodemus. What must I do to be saved? Or that's what Nicodemus said. He said, you got to be born again. He said, how can a man be born again? He said, no, Nicodemus. I know what you're thinking. You're crazy. You've already been born of water. Now you have to be born of the spirit, right? So your spirit's born again. Your body ain't getting new. I'm sorry. We're getting a new one in heaven. Amen. And God does healing on earth. Exercise. I don't know what to tell you. So we're body, soul, and spirit. This is your soul. And if this thing ain't right, Romans 12:1 says to be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So if you don't get this thing thinking right, it's still stinking thinking. You'll be just like that pig who hadn't walked with Jesus very long. And he goes, you don't love me. I'm not free. Does that make sense? And so now I'm trying to fight to the cross rather than the finished work of the cross. I'm already free. I'm already clean. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. There's now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Amen? Come on, but you've got to get this thing new. It has to become new. It is like the number one thing that has to happen, or you're going to be like this your whole life. Every time something happens, oh, he loves me. He hates me. Where's he at? I'm a stepson. I'm not a son. And I can tell you this because this was me. It's like that man on the, like the air up man. You ever seen those at the car dealerships with the crazy hair? He's doing like this and this. And that, but that's the truth. Every time life circumstances and emotions and things happen, that's you. You're totally taken blindside. And you think God loves you and then he's not for you. Come on, but it's because your soul hasn't been fortified with the word of God. Because when you figure out who you are, you're like the two foundations. The one house that was built on the sand, the winds came, the winds blew it, and it knocked that house down. The other one was founded on the what? The rock. Come on, and the winds came, the same storm. The winds came and the wind blew, but the house stood. I'm gonna tell you something though. The house still felt the wind and the rain. So it's not like I don't have emotions and things don't happen, but when they happen, I don't let them move me off the rock. Okay, Jesus help us. So why your soul? Because he wants to keep you from believing, becoming, and sharing truth. Because if he can get you in a compromised life, you'll live by what you see and what you feel rather than truth. And Sam said it this morning, we've talked about this a lot, but you can't allow emotions to dictate truth, but truth dictates your emotions. Another thing he wants to do is get you out of rest. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says, come to me all who are labor and heavy laden and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your what? Your souls. See, as you start to read scripture and you see souls, this is what you should see. Rest for your souls, because this is where the war's at, isn't it? And if you don't have this thing in rest, then you're gonna be doing this. And the only way you can rest is to know this word and have it in here. Okay. He goes for your soul because you won't believe his promises are yes and amen, because you've seen God's power in other people's lives but not yours. You won't share the gospel because of the fear of man. You'll hold to a form of godliness but deny the power. You'll feel like you won't ever be enough when Jesus says you are. You'll live a defeated life when John 10:10 says, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. Come on. You won't believe that God has a plan for your life when Jeremiah 29:11 says different. You'll believe that Jesus is beneficial later, but not now. That's a good word. Because so many of us are like, I'm getting to heaven, but I'm powerless here. But that's not the truth. So how does Satan come to poison your soul? Two main ways that I've seen in John 10, just like we said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What does he steal? I like to focus on this because it's so important. What does he steal? The revealed word of God. The things that God has made real to you, he's fortified to you, and he wants to taint and lie to you on that thing. He wants to steal the truth of God. It's the revealed word of God. Anybody can just read God's word and gain knowledge, but the revealed word of God is different. He makes it real to you in that moment, in that season. And I can tell you a million times when he set me free. My mother-in-law said one time, don't you know those who the Son set free are free indeed? And I didn't know she was speaking to me. One of them deals. And I got freedom because I realized I was already free. And that's what God's word does, the revealed word of God. Jesus. Okay, one of the other main ways Satan comes to poison our soul is by forming agreements. We hear whispers of the devil as life, feeling, circumstances occur. And then we call that thing truth. And then we put that truth into a castle of faith. And the essence of faith is to protect and defend what it believes at all costs. So when something happens to you and it's not good, let's give this for example. Let's say you're a 7-year-old kid and you're bad at math. And you fail a test. And somebody says, you're stupid. And you go, and then the voice goes, yeah, you're stupid. And you go, I'm stupid. Now that thing has become truth, and now you put that thing of truth into this castle of faith, and the essence of faith is to protect and preserve and defend at all cost. So when I come to you and I said, hey man, like you're smart, I'm not smart, I can't do that, don't give me that. Does that make sense? And so whatever it is in life, whatever emotion has lied to you or a lie that you believe from Satan, that's what happens. And so when I come against it, not against you, notice we don't come against people, we come against lies. And so when I come against lies with what? The word of God, because it separates the soul and the spirit. When you come against that, they go, ugh, and they don't look very happy. It's because it pierces it. Okay. So how do we fight? Number one, you have to settle it right now in your soul that God's word is infallible. There are no flaws in God's word. You have to settle that in your heart, that there are no flaws in his word. God does not make mistakes. He wrote it through men and they did an amazing job. But you have to settle that because that's the foundation of everything that we believe. And we need the humility to say, I'm not the standard. We have to acknowledge all things that we have learned that aren't of God and have to get them out and get the things that are of God to come in. We've got to have that renewed mind, the revealed word of God. And you have to have something to hold on to. It's like this, when you're going through life, something happens and you bend with the wind. The reason you bend with the wind is because you don't have the word to hold on to. What you're saying is, God, save me, help me. I know your word says something about it and I just please save me. No, this is what it should look like. Life happens, I'm on the rock, the winds are blowing, and I go, Father, you work out all things for the good of those who love you and called according to your word. Father, that you said that you're gonna work all things out, Lord. You said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. God, you said that you didn't give me a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and sound mind. I will not bend, I will not break. I'm gonna hold on to the rock, and I'm gonna walk in the power and authority of God, and people are gonna see my life, and they're gonna be changed. Come on. I will not bend. I will not compromise. The world is groaning for who? For you, the sons of God, to be revealed. What are you doing with it? Where's your soul? Come on, how's the status of your soul? Because he is coming, like Sam used that verse earlier, he's come to sift you like wheat. Some of you have probably already been sifted. And that's not being ugly, it's just truth. And sometimes we just need to acknowledge that our minds are not right with God. I'm not saying you're not born again, and maybe you need to be born again so then we can get born again and get our minds renewed. But a lot of us are walking around, most Christians are walking around, and this thing is not fortified with truth. It's fortified with beliefs, with tradition, with religion, and then what the other thing is, a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. That's what it says in Proverbs. We formulated all these opinions and thoughts and things that are not from God, and we've called it truth, and now we hold that thing in there as truth, and it's not. It's our opinions. And that's what the Word of God does. It comes and it separates that stuff. Okay. I just want to jump over here. I'm sorry, I'm having to jump around a little bit, but Jesus is amazing. I love you, Lord. You're so good to me. Finally, let's look at how Jesus fought. In Luke 3:21, and I'm going to share this, and we're going to land this plane. And I'm just going to read this and hit some things, and then we'll finish. This is really important to understand the baptism of Jesus. Luke 3:21. When all the people were baptized, Jesus also baptized. As he was praying, heaven opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in a physical appearance like a dove, and a voice came from heaven. You are my beloved son. I take delight in you. I want you to know one thing here. This is important to realize, that you have Father, Son, Holy Spirit all revealed in one place. It's really important to see that. And what did he say? You are my beloved son. Okay, fast forward over here to chapter 4. Then Jesus returns from the Jordan, full of the Holy Spirit. Remember that. Full of the Holy Spirit. And was led by the Spirit to the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days. And when they were over, he was hungry. Okay, the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Okay, number one. What did Satan say? If you are the Son of God, what just happened? The baptism, 40 days. Who did God say he was? My beloved son. Do you see how he tries to twist? How he tries to lie? If he can get you in a place of unbelief, just don't hold to all of it. No, that's what he's saying. I am the beloved son of God. If you relent, man, you're going to get compromised. Okay. So he said that, and note this too, and he was hungry. It's been 40 days. So he used food against him. But Jesus answers, just like we should, it is written, man must not live on bread alone. He took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in the moment of time. And the devil said to him, I will give you the splendor and all this authority because it has been given to me, over to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. If you then will worship me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. There's something else that you need to see in that verse that's really important. If Psalms 2, this is Jesus talking, or God talking to Jesus. It says, I have installed my king on Zion upon my holy mountain. I will proclaim the decree spoken to me by the Lord. You are my son. Today I've become your father. Okay, verse 8, this is really important. Ask of me and I will make the nations your inheritance, the end of the earth your possessions. There's a promise from God already that Jesus would have it. Do you see that? Do you see the connection? He already had a promise for the Father that, hey, I'm going to give you this. But here comes Satan and he says, all this stuff is mine. Because this was my world before it was man's world. Does that make sense? He's trying to taint it. He's trying to twist it. Basically, he's saying this. Look, Jesus, God didn't give them to you. He didn't give the world to you. He gave them to me. So it's obvious your father can't be trusted. Fall down and worship me and I will give it all to you. See, there's more to it than just saying some words. There's a lot of history here in the Word. And then once more, he's tempted. And now Satan uses scripture And then he's using God's word against him, like he did with Adam. Once again, he declared, "It is written." I think it's really important to notice too, when you jump down to verse 14. And something else you need to know is that God was fully God, he was fully man. He was fully God and fully man. It was hard to say no. We don't think so, but it was probably really hard to say no. But verse 14 says that Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. He went in full of the Spirit. He left in the power of the Spirit. There's something about our trials, our tribulations, and all those things that if we embrace them, that it's going to do a great work in our lives. Where Adam number one fell, Jesus stood. Amen. So what's your response when the accuser comes, the accuser of the brethren, when he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, when he comes to lie? And what's your response? How's your soul? Do you really believe what it says in 2 Timothy that you can have a sound mind? There's a place, a lot of people don't believe it, that you can live in peace and you can have a sound mind all the time. But people don't believe it because it's not what they've experienced. But I'm telling you, throw your experience to the side and start reading this. Right before that, Paul says, "I thank God who I serve with a clean conscience, because this righteousness produces holiness." It's not me striving. Righteousness produces holiness. Amen. So what's your soul look like? What's he been whispering in your ear? You're not loved. You're not saved. Don't share the gospel. You're a wreck. Just end it. Give up. Quit believing. God has no plan for you, or he would have already done it. God can't restore your family, your relationships. They're too far gone. You should just focus on you. Worry about it later. God's not good. He's not faithful. You're in a rut and you'll never get out. Whatever God's doing in your heart, I just encourage you. Whatever lie, maybe he's highlighting a lie. He does that sometimes. Man, just ask him about that and ask him to replace it with truth. As the band comes this morning, I'm just going to ask God to expel lies and respond however God has you respond. Maybe you don't realize that you're the righteousness of God. You're still that pig stinking thinking. Man, that was my deal. Because if you don't get that, you'll always be behind. You'll always be like, "I'm behind. I'm the tail. I'm not the head." And we are the head. We're not the tail. Amen. Maybe you need to realize today that you are the righteousness of God. And now there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Maybe your spirit's never been born again. The Bible says, "All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But I'm telling you what, here's another thing. Maybe you're not in the fight. And we got to get in the fight, church. This is a war. It's a war for your soul. It's a war for everybody else's soul. And we are called as soldiers in an army. We have been enlisted in the army of God to destroy the works of the devil. Come on. Get a fire in you. Keep ablaze the gift that's been given to you. That's what Paul told Timothy. I'm going to pray for you. And then you just respond however God would have you respond. Father, thank you for your word, for it is the final authority. God, thank you for this precious word that has healed my soul. Thank you, God, that we are born again by your blood and by the cross. God, just have your way today. And I just pray renewed minds in the name of Jesus. Brand new minds, clean consciences in Jesus' name. And the revealed word to go forth and to do what only you can do, Father. We just thank you.